any of this, are we able to give our paper without the PowerPoint?
I can do a little something, actually. I don't know if I have enough handouts, but my thing, as Jay said, is called Digital Toolbox, and I'm going to highlight three or four different programs that I use frequently that are really handy. But in haste, I try to do a PowerPoint version, a fully written out sentences version, and a paper version. And I ran out of time, so I kind of cheated on the paper version, so I'm just giving you one slide out of my PowerPoint, but it will work to jog your memory or to write notes on or whatever, so I'm going to pass that out. And since it's kind of cryptic while we're waiting, I guess I can explain something about it. Does anyone have a specific problem in the sense of trying to create something, trying to capture something, trying to do something with resources that you specifically want to have to do? That's another thing you can do with words and not with pictures. Are there enough? Is it going to go across? I only made about 20. There's obviously more than 20 of you here, so maybe. I'm going to put all this on the internet as well. And so you'll be able to share with your friends or copy and do what you like with it. What these are just icons that go with the software. So what I'll do for those of you that have this, if you don't know what it is, I'll identify some of these things. The first one I think is familiar. Sorry, it's not in color. That would be a giveaway, I guess. The first is Adobe Acrobat. That's one of the ones I'm going to talk about at some length because I like that for a lot of the full version, not just the reader, but the one that lets you edit things. And I use that in a lot of ways. And next to Dreamweaver, I'm just going to mention it in passing. Obviously, you can get a degree in it, probably. You can do all kinds of things. But I'm just going to mention it in terms of outreach as one of the functions for low-tech people. As I started out, I would make simple pages, mostly text, a few pictures in Word, and lets you save it as a web document. But the problem is that it inflates with all kinds of code and garbage, really. And there's a cool feature in Dreamweaver under the tools, I think. But it says clean up Word HTML. It's specifically for Word. So you do that and it strips all that garbage off. It gives you your same document, but it gets rid of all that clunky stuff. That means it loads faster and it's just a nicer thing. So that's why I mentioned Dreamweaver, just for that one aspect. The other one, Notepad, that's just for if you're at a website and there's some information you want and it's got all this fancy formatting, colors and stuff. All you want is the actual text by copying it from the web, from the browser, and putting it in this text editor, which is in all Windows operating systems, just plain text, it will strip all that stuff off. All you'll have left is keystrokes, basically. And so that's a nice way to get rid of stuff you don't want, as well as, you know, make your notes and things like that. It also has a nice, if you're a keystroke person, likes just pushing keystroke and making things happen, maybe from the days before Windows, graphical stuff, but rather than mouse, I like just pushing keys. And one of the functions on Notepad is to find. So if you're trying to get rid of all this error that happens repeatedly, Word will let you do the find every place, obviously. But for small jobs, sometimes I just use that find function, just jump down and replace things manually. And there's also a date stamp function. You push F5. And so if you're keeping a log of a project, how long you're doing it, when you're doing it, you just push F5 and it puts time date. And you can set up a time log file by putting the first four letters of that file, .log, I think all caps. Whenever you open that file, it will enter that for you. So that's lawyers like that, apparently, they keep time logs. Paint, the reason I'm bringing that in, MS Paint, again, is a utility. It's on all Windows programs. No matter whose machine you're working on, it will have Paint, some version of it. Is if you, if there's something you've arranged on your screen, you've got several windows open, and you want to take a picture or a screenshot of that, and you don't have a fancy, you don't have Photoshop, you don't have anything fancy, Paint will still work. You do print screen or capture screen, whatever it's called, and then you just paste it. You open Paint, you paste it, it's there. You can trim off the edges. You can do a few very basic things and save it as an image file. So Paint is nice for that. Next one to that is something I've just started using recently. It's called Audacity. It's freeware. And how many of you know Audacity? Have you used it or heard of it? So it's free, and it's got most of the features you need for sound editing. So if you're recording like we're doing today, and you want to have fade in, fade out, you want to cut pieces, you want to change stereo to mono, you want to change it from a rich, fully featured, high-quality sound recording to a very small, minimalist MP3 that people can download in an instant. You can do some of those things with conversion or transcoding, it's called. So that's very nice. And I think it works on both Windows and Mac. You see now. Explorer, obviously, everyone uses that every day. One that uses that is a proprietary thing of Sony's that came with my mini disc recorder. And I can't say enough about it. It's great. It's CG quality recording and stereo, depending on how good a mic you have. Musicians use it. People go to concerts with some bootleg things use it. It's high quality recording. And so when you start with a lot of good information, you can obviously make it as small as you want. You can keep on making it smaller, smaller for your purposes. If it's just a lecture, obviously you don't need all that quality. But the nice thing about this proprietary software that comes with a mini disc player is the transfer. It's not. It used to be when you recorded something, you had to hook it to your computer, and if it was an hour recorded, it took an hour to get it on your computer. But this is really quick. So I did it as an example, a new lecture we did, about a 50-minute lecture. And you hook it up, and it gets onto the computer in about 4 or 5 minutes. So it's really quick. So that's nice. Then you can edit it. You can cut off the beginning and the end and make it nice. You can add an intro, what you want to do. So that's really a great tool if you're going to think about podcasting or making some audio recordings for your performances or events. You can get them on eBay for $100. There's different ones. The new generation is called HiMD because it compresses it even more. So the disk, the media removable thing, will hold 1 gigabyte. So that's, if you do it uncompressed, just pure sound, you can get maybe 4 or 5 hours on it. And obviously, if you compress, you can get like 30 hours. So it's huge. The one next was Sound Recorder. That's again on Windows Utility. And that's good for just a few simple functions. Like I say, every machine that runs Windows will have this. And so if you have a kind of small recording, it'll even work on an hour-long recording, but it just takes a long time to do its thing. But you can use that to cut pieces off, to take little segments you like and save them. You can convert it from WAV to MP3 to Windows Media. There's a couple, not a lot of choices, but there are a few choices. So it's a small tool, and it does a few things, and everyone has it, basically. So that's why that's good. Right next to that is a proprietary thing, but it came with my printer about 5 or 10 years ago, and I just discovered it for the first time. And it's software that lets you stitch, they call it stitching pictures. So if you get 3 or 4 pictures or a dozen pictures that overlap in 10 or 15%, the software will say, oh, I see these are common elements, and it hooks it together. So you create panoramas. So if you've got a whole room full of people, you can get a nice view of that. If you've got the middle of Red Square and you want all of Red Square, you can do that. So that's a neat function. I think it's very immersive. People who are want to know about your part of the world or your performance, whatever, can kind of explore it in detail of a still image. So, although that's not a freebie, maybe there are some free versions, I don't know, but that's another tool that's attractive. Now, that's a notepad file. That's, I guess we've done it there. Windows Media Player, I'm trying to think why I put that on. Obviously, to play things, but I can't remember. It's not one of my featured ones. I'm trying to think if there are any functions that I use as kind of a intermediary tool. Nothing's coming to mind. Next one, however, is Windows Movie Maker, and Windows XP comes with that as a utility, as a freebie. Somebody, kind of disparagingly, a video expert told me about the official price of Windows movie editing. It does a few basic things, and that's fine for me. I don't mind playing official price. I don't need all the fancy stuff to start with. But if you've never played around with it, you might want to use that. It's very friendly. You just put your clips together. You can do fade-ins, fade-outs. You can put title slides, text on, and then save it as a smaller file, a compressed file. Well, next to that is one of the featured ones. And since I'm using all this time, I guess I might not show you my PowerPoint because I'm kind of talking through these. But this is a free download at Google. They have 4 or 5 giveaways, and this is one of them. It's just google.com/downloads. And Picasa, has anyone used Picasa? A few people? I'm really infatuated with that. I just love it. It's if you've got a bunch of pictures from an event, a trip, or whatever it is, it lets you do so many things with just a few keystrokes instead of manually doing one by one editing your pictures and stuff like that. You can do some batch edits. Just all the pictures you want to
change the contrast or the cropping, whatever you want. You just tell it to do it, and it does it. And what it does is it makes corrections in a database, I guess. Your actual file is not touched. It's giving instructions to your computer about what to do to the picture, but it's not actually messing with your file. However, if you do want to make those permanent changes, you can export what you've done, and so you've got the version that is all edited. So you've got your original material, plus you've got the edited one. But one of the features that especially I like is Make a Web Alb, and I know that Photoshop and a couple other, I think Dreamweaver has a function like that too. You take the pictures you want, you put in captions, you have three or four templates you can choose. You want a gray background, a black background, a white background, and then it just does all the churning and spinning, and it makes a little thumbnail so that when you click on it, you get the full one. The caption shows up. It puts this little advertisement in the corner, and if you don't like the advertisement or don't want to give a site, you can obviously go in Dreamweaver or some editor and manually take out some of that code. But just in a matter of a few strokes, you've got a web album, which is really wonderful. Trying to think, there's one other function I go away. It'll come back to me. Besides the full version of Acrobat, which I think university licenses you can get for maybe $50, is pretty cheap for what it does. But this one also is you have to pay for it to get the full feature. This QuickTime and QuickTime Pro is $29.95. Or the university has a deal for $25 or something. But that unlocks all the editing features, and that's really powerful too for editing sound, for editing movies, for creating slideshows. I really like it. Just one person called it the Swiss Army knife of movie editing. In other words, you're working in iMovie or a director or something like this, but you just have to mess around. You have to kind of tweak one clip. You can do that in QuickTime, one or two clips. It gets kind of awkward if you've got a lot of things going on, but it's good for kind of single things. Fix it and then bring it back into your big program. But I like for excerpting things. So if there's something that I found on the web or somebody sent me or I've created and I just want a little chunk of it, I can open it up here, take the little chunk out, and save it as a QuickTime movie. Or there's not too many choices. Can save the new version, the version 7, which is on their website now. If you download it for free and then pay the money to unlock the features on it, lets you also capture video, so you can plug your camcorder directly in and it will take the pieces that you want directly from it. Before, you had to capture it some other way and then bring it to the time. But this goes directly in sound or video. So for $29, I mean, that is a lot of power. And there's a QuickTime logo. Word, I talked about using that as a quick and dirty way to make some web pages, and then use Dreamweaver to clean them up. Obviously, Outlook or an email client is all everyone's bread and butter. Do a lot of your work by email. Is that PowerPoint? If this is working, it is working. Okay. Yep. So, and maybe I'll flip through one or two slides, but basically, you've got my favorite picks here.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add one application that I just found recently called Slideshow Pro, which is a Flash application. It's really easy to use. It's $20. It'll do the same thing with a batch of photos, except it'll put them into a really nice Flash animated slideshow that you can embed into your website. It's incredibly user-friendly, especially for Mac users. You can export right from iPhoto into this thing, and then you can adjust all of these parameters. You can add captions. You can adjust the size of thumbnails, and it's a really nice sort of up-to-date interface.
It's called Slideshow.
Slideshowpro.com. It's $20. It's incredible.
And it works both on PCs and Mac.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I've been using Mac, but I think it's also PC-friendly.
Okay.
Since Susan's presentation was the most interactive of them, we can go ahead with just a few questions on that presentation if you like while Ellen is loading up, and we'll just simply move on from there. Was there any other questions directly for Susan? We will come back to questions also at the end.
Are these programs that we would use in our website, or do we send?
These are things that I call it a toolbox, because it's things that I use on a daily basis. You know, I use them so often that I put them as shortcuts in my computer so I can just go to them, because I use them every day. So, yeah, I consider them as ways to do my work better, to create products for people, to do services for people.
But if I have a slideshow,
can I send it to somebody to see it, and do I assume that they can open it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what do these produce? Yeah. Not everyone, I think a lot of people, not everyone does have QuickTime, the free one that lets you play things. But it's not too big, and you can put a note with your email that says, you know, you need the QuickTime player, here's the address to download. But like I said, most computers, I think, already have it. As far as, I think, again, most computers probably have the free version of Adobe Acrobat, so if you create something in PDF. One of the functions that I don't think I said was web capture. And so if there's a website and you like the whole website or you like just the homepage of it, you can tell Acrobat, put in that address, and it will capture it. And all the links are live, so a person who's using, who's looking at a PDF file can click on it, and if they're online, they'll go to that website. So everything is preserved. And you can also tell it, download two levels deep. So the first click of all those hot links on that page, indiscriminately, add those on. So you get a bundle of pages automatically. Or you can say, go down another level or two or however many you say, but only stay on the same server. So don't go to other places they're talking about. Just stuff they've produced. And again, it will produce a bundle, you know, however long. So I've got 300 or 400 page things sometimes. Things are so rich that I wanted the whole thing. So I said, and so it just kind of churned along for 20 minutes and I've got everything. And the nice thing there, of course, if it's a PDF, it's stable. If the internet one goes away, you still have yours. Like I said, just about everyone can read it. You can extract individual pages if you just want to send one page to somebody or something like that. As far as the other things, they're, without going into detail, they all are standard sound file things that everyone can use or documents people can read and so forth. Anyway, two sides of outreach, visibility. I've been doing this since 2002. I was at the 4 years ago at the same conference and just was so charged up with ideas, I just have been running with them ever since. So I hope some of you come away this time in the same way. I love this outreach stuff. So visibility, just telling people that you exist, is just a very simple and basic and ongoing, persistent problem. And accessibility, and that's really the digital part, is making things in a form that people can use and want to use and can find and so forth. So grouping things that we just heard from Ali by related content, and allowing different levels people can enter, kind of the shallow end or the deep end, so allowing the same subject but looking at it at different degrees of depth, resolution. So one of the subjects here is how to rework content. The fancy word I picked up from reading through an Adobe Acrobat thing is repurposing. So taking what you do or somebody else has done and give it another purpose. So repurpose is a fancy word. tricks to save time, extend your reach. And this is where I'm going to put this presentation. So it's outreachscience.tribe.com. And today's thing is Toolbox. There'll be an index page that I'm hoping I can escape from all the advertising by not calling the index page index. After this, tripod.com, and we call it home.html. So that's where the kind of reference all the different things will be at home.html. So Picasa at Google, basic edits, also batches if you have a whole bunch you want to deal with. This is the other feature I like. Contact sheets if you want to cram a bunch of pictures on one page and work in hard copy, take it home, take it on the weekend, and write and doodle and stuff. Because I have hard copy sometimes. And the web app, I talked about that one. So this is a screenshot of showing several of the submenus pulled out in Picasa. This thing called labels, if you've got pictures in a different folders, and you just pluck one from here, one from there, and put all those together, it's called a label. It has left everything where it was. All it's done is put a layer of information structures to the computer, so it looks like there's another set of pictures, but actually they've just been labeled that way, so you can do that. Under the picture menu, this batch edit, and this one is I always wonder what that meant at Google. I'm feeling lucky. But here what it means is it looks at your picture and estimates what it thinks it needs. It might correct the color. It might correct the contrast. It does one or two things. This software keeps track of every change, every instruction you've given it, so you can back up step by step and remove what you just did back to the raw picture. Mm-hmm. So the batch edit, say if I've selected these blue, once the blue boxes around, they show up in this tray, they call it, picture tray, and I'm feeling lucky, and I like most of what they did. Maybe I didn't like one of them, so I go manually back to that individual one and undo that. I'm feeling lucky. So
Is that freeware?
It's free. Yeah, totally free. And they're coming out with a Mac version. Right now, it's only, last I looked, it's only for PC, but there will be a Mac version. This is also from Picasa. It makes you, it allows you, maybe this is like Slideshow Pro, just gone, but you choose the pictures you want, and I think you can set a few basic things like how long, or if there's a dissolve between, or a couple different things. But then you say make a movie, and what it is actually is a slideshow. You press start, and it plays your pictures. So here it is in the middle doing its thing.
Does it have the capacity on the slideshow to show two at one time?
Side by side, you mean? I don't think so. I've only used it once or twice, but there may be a way to do that. So here's that label thing again, the idea that the pictures are actually in the original locations, it's just grouped them virtually in a place. And then you select make a web page, and it's a web page.
Does it batch optimize?
Yeah, well, in the sense that contrast and color, those two.
Oh, but to shrink the file size for web posting?
If you've made a bunch of edits on one or more pictures and you want to make those permanently, export them as the edited version of your source, then it will ask you the original or a different size. You can tell it to do that whole bunch of them in small size if you want. And then, like I say, there's kind of a frequently used edit, so it can crop. You know, you can just choose the bit you want. You can straighten it. You know, if it's tilted, it will let you do that. Red eye, contrast and color. And fill light, what it does is the mid-tones, I think, is what it does, and it boosts those. So if you've got a really contrasty picture and you want to see more of the detail, you can play with that, and it will, it's like turning on a light almost, like suddenly this dark picture you can see. So those are very basic things. There's another tab called tuning, and that has a tool that you choose something that you want to show up absolutely white or absolutely black, and you click on that piece of your picture, and it adjusts everything else relative to that. So it uses that as the color standard. Effects, there's maybe a dozen and a half things like sharpen, sepia, post dries, a couple different things that does. Okay, so that was Picasa. And then Acrobat, this is one of the ones you have to pay for the full, all the functions. So as I said, the web capture, and this is something I didn't mention before, it's called winnowing, but what you can do is if you've got several pages of document, a draft version or something that a friend sent, and you just want to kind of pull out little elements of it, you can use any of the annotation tools, whether it's the highlighter or the underline or whatever you're using. But whatever you've marked up in this, when you've been reading along, you can push summarize my annotations, and it pulls all of them, or you can be selective, say, just pull my highlight ones off, just pull my whatever. And it puts those in separate files, so you've got, it's just instantly made your notes for you, basically. So if you're reading an online book or whatever, and you just want to pull out certain passages, a paragraph here or there, you know, identify those and push summarize, and you've got them.
Does that cross-reference the page?
It does. And if it's multiple people reading it, also it's a note of who read this one. Whose annotations are these pulled out? But I mean, I just do this myself, so I end up deleting the extra information. For presentations, you can use it instead of PowerPoint. And although it doesn't have the animations and things like that, what I like about it is the zoom tool. So you can just push Z, which lets you zoom, and then pick the piece of your screen that you like and draw a line around it, you instantly zoomed in on something. So if you've got something with a lot of detail and you're presenting, it's a lot easier than using something else where you have to, say, go to the view or set the zoom size and so forth. This is right there. So and if you don't want to make a separate version, you've got a Word document and it's got graphic material that's interesting, and you don't want to feed that all into PowerPoint, just like a PDF of it. You can work straight from it. So that's another nice thing about it. As I said, it's archived, stable, works on all platforms. And when I first dove into this in the deep end about 2 years ago, I had to write an essay about it. I just was using it so many ways, and I found it so productive that I actually wrote an essay of all the things, kind of my learning curve with PDF. So it's there, PDF_lore, PDF_lore. And I'll reference that, too, in this Outreach Science thing, probably within the week. So that's Acrobat. And this is looking at Acrobat, the web capture thing. This is the result that I went to the MP3 aggregator when you're collecting audio files. It was called iPod, and now it's called Juice, but it's a free thing, and it just gave me all those pages. And when you're looking at the document and click on a link that jumps down, on the website jumps down, it will likewise jump down in your PDF to that place. So it works like it's online, but actually it's off. It's not online. You can take it places and not worry about internet. So open a web page, and it produces, as you asked, it puts an annotation type, a label, who did it, what it's from, and then the actual piece that's highlighted. In this case, this chunk showed up there.
QuickTime Pro, so excerpting, combining pieces from several excerpts into one package, pulling the soundtrack. So if you've got an interview, if you've got a video with your author, say, you want to provide it just as sound, as MP3, people can put it in a portable player and listen to, of that author reading a poem, whatever. You could have it in, there's a number of ways to do this, but I'm just obviously featuring this software, but the other things will let you also strip off the soundtrack. But anyway, once you've got it there, you just save it as, and it gives you a bunch of choices, and want to save it as a WAV file, which is just the generic uncompressed sound. And then from there, you can put it into MP3. So that's nice if you just want to offer some event in another form, not just full video, but also just sound. So as I said, you can pull individual frames off. Something I found out recently, it's not part of this, but my wife's laptop came with a free DVD player called WinDVD, probably a lot of you have that. And I just realized that one of the functions in it is to pull individual frames. So as you're watching a movie or training thing, whatever you've got, you just push T, or there's a button that will do the same thing, and it will just grab that frame. So you've got, in videos, most videos 720 by 480 pixels, you know, so I guess about that size. And so it pulls those up as is that size. And so you can, you know, set the folder, so you've got a bunch of little highlights of a show you watched or something. You can assemble these images sequentially and make it into, it's called image sequence. My son wanted to make a claymation movie, so we took about 40 different pictures of this little clay guy walking along getting squished by foot. It's like a 10-second video. So we put all those, we number them, so we've got image 1 through 40, and then you tell QuickTime to open image sequence. So it looks for things that have the same name and a number attached. It's a fixed format. So it sees that. It pulls them all in order. And so rather than do that manually one by one, this is one sequence. You've got all your images stacked up in order. And then we save that as a movie. So it played back at, we set 10 frames per second. So it was very short. It's like, I guess, less than 5 seconds, very short. But sure, you can see the thing kind of moving along. So this is another thing, transcoding or condensing. Say somebody sent you a sample of something they have, and they've given you permission to take, you know, the intro or whatever you want from it, and you want to put it online or email it to people, but it's too big in its original form. So you can use QuickTime to change the setting, change the frame from this size to this size. So immediately you've shrunk it down. You can tell it to change the rate that it plays. You know, it's a little jerkier if you go down to a slower, like 15 frames instead of the original 30 frames. But for your purposes, it's fine to do that. And as a result, you shrunk it down. There's a couple different compressors you can choose. And the newest version, QuickTime 7, is uses MP4, which is, I don't remember the technical part of it, but basically it allows you, it preserves a lot more quality. It makes things smaller, and yet it's giving you a very high definition sort of thing. And as I said, the new one, QuickTime 7, also will capture straight from the camcorder into QuickTime. So here's some views. I took some pieces from here and here, put them together, and saved it. Here's the box, the dialogue box with movie settings. If you unmark the video box and all it's left leaving you is the sound, obviously then you're coming away with a sound file from it. Let me just put one more thing. Here we go, keyboard favorites. So one, if you haven't used it before, usually it's on the upper right somewhere, it's print screen or screen capture, and that lets you, whatever you, what you see is what you get. So that's nice to do. Alt-Tab cycles through the different things. So that's a quick way to jump between your windows. Shift-Delete if you want to delete something and skip the recycle bin and totally it's gone straight into the never-never land. You hold Shift down and away it goes. If there's a bunch of files and you wonder how big are they, what compression, what all the different details, you can hold the Alt button and double-click and it will give you all the nitty-gritty about an individual file. And then some of the function keys that I frequently use to rename it, rather than get the mouse up on the file and click it again and move the cursor and do different things, just push F2 and instantly you can change the file name. F5, that works on all the different Windows products, the browsers and so on, if you want to refresh the screen. And F11, if you want to get your full, your browser completely maximized. But nice one.
And then the Windows button, the little graphic key that has a window on it. If you, I think there are about 20 different functions, but the ones that I frequently use are, I want to clear to the desktop. It's not working with PowerPoint. But that M should have jumped to run. And then find and explore. And I think the last, here we go. Oh, so the hardware things, digital camera, if you get one that plays or records in QuickTime, then you can load it into the QuickTime editor directly. It's not, you don't have to convert it. It's taking QuickTime movies. There are a couple different formats, but if I were shopping for a digital camera, I would recommend getting one that makes movies and QuickTime. The panoramic thing I mentioned on my album. For the mini disc, that's what I'm using here. You can extend it, things. It has a lot of capacity, in other words. And then you can excerpt things. You can plug in your mini disc to various sources and collect various kinds of interesting things to give your constituents. A camcorder, you can pull the audio only, you can do freeze frames, you can do lengthy clips that still fit online.
So, that's the finish line.